Dave Jensen, happy August evening.
Steel Wagstaff, it's the summer's coming to a close. How you feeling?
I feel like an eternal flame has been lit.
That's beautiful.
So even though the summer's ending here, the heat of this year will live on in a long time in my memory.
So far, we've had a lovely summer. One thing that we've done this summer is we confirmed that you actually do have a friend named Jack Banginer, and everybody was so impressed that he actually existed. We had a lot of requests for him to come back.
Yeah. People could not get enough of the real Jack Banginer. Jack, buddy, welcome back.
Hey. Good to hear you guys again.
Yeah. Dave, the reason why Jack is back...
Yes.
It's not just because he's amazing, but because he's probably the one person in my life that loves the Olympics as much or more than I do.
Is that true? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Did you watch a lot of Olympics, Jack? Were you seatbelted in for the Olympics?
Close to it. I watched quite a bit of it. It was a little bit different this time around, I think, because I watched the judo, and I got so into judo. that it almost wiped me out for like too much adrenaline for the Olympics. So I kind of skipped out on a little bit of the Olympics and then slowly picked up pace again.
Judo excitement just made you black out, huh?
It did. It took me off guard. I really liked that event. So
the thing that I really appreciated, Jack, was I watched a couple of evenings of like the NBC telecast of the Olympics, and I was just getting pissed off because the commentary sucked. The coverage of the events was like all they would show would be Americans winning thing, and if an American wasn't in it, they'd be like, "Oh, we're going to skip to the next event," and there was a million commercials. And then you posted saying, "Hey, watch the live feeds on the website or in the app," and it totally changed my Olympics experience. It got 1 million times better.
Yeah, in the live feeds, all the commentators were English people that were uninterested in Americans. So there was like no cheerleading. They're just like, oh, another American. It was refreshing. That's how I watched 90% of the Olympics.
It got so much better. And then it was always something happening without commercials. It was great.
Anyway. I'm glad you were able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. So I got really into it after that, and I watched a bunch, you know. It became a little evening routine after Cedar went to bed. I'd just watch, usually track, and then I'd switch off in dull moments to other stuff, volleyball, other things. And I was thinking about this, though. The Olympics is this amazing gathering of people who are literally world class at the thing that they do. And it got me thinking, I don't think that I've ever been like world class at anything except maybe like standardized test taking, which is not really something to be proud of or to say out loud. And I was curious, do you feel like there's been any moment in your lives where you were like world class at something?
Oh, boy.
I can't think of anything, but I think despite the way people, well, maybe, I don't know, I've got quite an ego, but I don't think that I'm the best or anything at anything. So I'm not sure. I'd have to say no. I don't think that I've ever been world class at anything, really.
There was a moment, guys, last night where we played a bull riding game where I was the bull, and each girl, I have three older girls, had to try and stay on me for 8 seconds. And we did that game for like 20 minutes, and it was brutal. And during that time, I felt like I might have been a world-class father.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's good. I thought you were going to say world-class bull for a second.
I was clearly like, whoa, like you've invented a new sport, and you're totally world-class at it. You're the best, being the bull.
That'd be amazing, though, if someone went to like a small town Arizona rodeo, and instead of an actual bull, they just trot out Dave, and like real life adult cowboys get on and try to ride you for 8 seconds, Dave.
They couldn't have made it. I let my daughter stay on. I'll be honest. I gave him the 8 seconds. If I was bucking them off, it would have been half a second. But you got to take a hit for world class fatherhood.
That's beautiful. I love it. So the other question, though, is imagining yourself as world-class. Like, if you could pick any sport that you were world-class in or that you could compete in the Olympics at, what would you pick?
I'd go Carl Lewis. I basically would be Carl Lewis. I want to be the sprinter, and I don't want to just stop there. I want a long jump as well and be, like, awesome at it and just so full of drugs and steroids and stuff and just be able to just blow people away.
It'd also be cool to be in your early 30s and have braces, too. That'd be a nice touch.
He just kept having to get those braces. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I can't think of a reason.
I can't either. Probably not weird head growth or anything.
But legitimately, if drugs are not involved, like being a sprinter, you're on top of the world.
You only have a few seconds of action at the Olympics, but you are the center of attention. The world stops for the sprinters, really.
Yeah. Everyone loves Usain Bolt. He seems kind of like a jerk, but he can do it. It doesn't matter. He's a sprinter. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, he's won 3 straight Olympics. I mean, he's good.
All right, he's got free reign for the rest of his life.
So for me, I'd pick the decathlon. I don't know exactly why, because it seems like the most punishing. You're like, over the course of 2 days, I'll do 10 events and, like, destroy my body. But the guys who do it, it's awesome. They're like, I think of like the real world-class athletes, and the guys who do the decathlon or the women who do the heptathlon, they are like 80% of the world record holders in like 8 to 10 different events. It's nuts.
They're pushing themselves. They're doing a great job.
They're just all-arounders, and that seems like super inspiring. I would just dream and wish that I could have done that.
Yeah, for a man focused almost solely on poetry for the past 15 years, you might want to feel good to expand your horizons, huh?
And do more than one thing that actually matters. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm going to guess that you may have already given us a little spoiler into what event you'd have chosen, but let's hear it.
Yeah, I would pick judo. but it wasn't the adrenaline that would make me pick that. It's that the way that these guys fight, like you go out there with like this mentality that I don't think that I've ever had. Like, I mean, some of these fights that people get choked out and stuff, and I'm like, I could never do that to somebody, you know? I don't know. Maybe if I could just like do it for a little bit. It's like,
you could be the bad guy from Karate Kid for once, Jack.
Yeah.
Billy Zabka. Yeah. And you'd get to keep the bathrobe, and that'd come in handy in the studio. You know, you wouldn't have to get dressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably just wear that suit around all the time too. I like the pattern.
It looks really comfortable. I mean, that's half of the appeal of judo. It's just the comfort that you have while you're performing the sport.
So it's
unless it's wrapped around your neck.
Then it sucks. But little known fact, guys, actually, do you guys know that the dude, he qualified for the 1980 U.S. Olympic or the Olympics in judo, but because of the boycott in Soviet Russia, he never competed. But that's why he's wearing the bathrobe in the movie, The Big Lebowski.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it.
He was a judoka.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was our little intro, a little teaser. We're going to come back to the Olympics later. But the first thing we wanted to lay on people, it's been a long time. People have been emailing us saying, I have had the worst, most awkward conversations lately. I don't know what to talk about. There's all these summer parties, all these mixers, all these events. You guys are letting me down. You're just doing expert testimony. But what I need from you, David Steele, is a little bit of small talk. And Dave, this podcast exists for no other reason than to give the people what they want. And we're going to do that right now with a little thing we call small talk. 3 things.
So, guys, you're at your summer barbecue. You don't know what to say. We're giving you 3 things to say.
Boom.
Everybody's going to crowd around you. Everybody's going to be like, whoa, this guy is the most interesting guy at the barbecue. And as long as you only have to maintain it for about 10 minutes, you will be.
You'll walk away.
So Steele, you put this in the show and I was trying to think like, well, that's really interesting that I've read lately. And I started thinking and I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah. And then I can tell by what you wrote down. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
And then like a bolt of lightning, just the idea, edible crayons came to me and I was super excited. And of course, Google search. People are doing this. They're making edible crayons. It's happening. They'll make them out of chocolate. They're making them out of vegetables. There's organic vegetable edible ones. And then there's ones that people just want to make as close to real crayons as possible, but they just want them to be okay to eat in case the kid's interested. But what I really want is a working crayon that's kind of like a Laffy Taffy sort of thing. Got that just that good taffy flavor. So that's what I'm still looking for. Yeah, it would have to be the consistency of Now and Laters because they're so hard they can rip your fillings out.
Yeah.
What aren't those like? What are they called? Like the little wax crayons that people use like for Easter eggs. You could make those out of Laffy Taffy, I bet. Now and Laters.
The possibilities I think are endless. But just like imagine how stoked you'd be. You're 4 years old. You're coloring in the coloring book. You want a snack. You don't want to get up from your coloring. You're really focused on this thing. And just boom, you take a bite from the other end, and it's delicious.
So what happens when you eat this crayon on the other end? I had a dog once that ate some crayons. The same dog that ate all the gummy bears, Steel, yes. And Rover.
Yeah. Oh, Rover
and,
ate crayons?
One time he ate a bunch of crayons, and definitely there was something wild coming out the other end.
Oh, man. That's art, Jack. You just take a picture of that, and you're selling it, man.
I should have. Yeah. It was before that kind of possibility existed so easily with the internet stuff, I think.
You could have got a Guggenheim.
Yeah.
That's good, so, Dave. Edible crayons, they're real, and they're the possibilities. It's an untapped, it's an unsaturated market. It's ripe for some creative destruction, some disruptive capitalism. You know, get in there.
And did your Google search return any decent artwork created with the crayons?
I watched a YouTube video. It was mostly focused on the creation of the crayons and what she was drawing with the crayons afterwards. I'll be frank, was disappointing. But this it's a medium that you could look into, Jack. I don't think a lot of people doing stuff with edible crayons.
I'd be concerned about the materials going into it. I like to use things that don't necessarily ruin the paper and stuff that I'm working on, too. So food items often don't go well with long-lasting artwork.
You keep holding yourself back like that, you're not going to discover your true talent within.
I know it. Glass half empty, huh?
Yeah. Really, Jack. Art is risk-taking. All right, here's my guess. I don't know if you've been following this, but things in Mississippi in the legislature have really reached a fever pitch these days.
They usually do.
You know I follow the ins and outs of Mississippi legislation. It's an amazing place. Really great, innovative thinkers down there in Mississippi thinking about how to legislate the Bible and all aspects of public life. But lately, the big battle has been over what they're calling the demon chipmunk. You guys heard anything about
this? Whoa!
It's probably
I've heard about some demon DNA that might be in the human bloodline, but not with chipmunks.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Jordan on to explain that one. But this is the demon chipmunk. And I read this headline and I was like, what the hell? So the headline says, High Court hears arguments in, quote, demon chipmunk case. And then there's literally like a guy in a suit and tie that looks like a respectable, like adult human talking about, well, the demon chipmunk, we really need to take this seriously. And I was like, this has got to be a joke. What are they talking about? And there's not actually a demon chipmunk, but they have a computerized system that's supposed to read all of the bills that are being introduced for legislation. And the Democrats are outnumbered, and they're going to get the legislation passed against their wills. So as a stalling kind of filibuster technique, they've required that the bills be read in their entirety over and over again. And the Republicans who are wanting to push these bills through get frustrated with it. So they've invented or they're using this computer who's speed reading the bills like faster than any person can hear. And so they're fulfilling the letter of the law by like speed reading the bills. And the Democrats are calling the voice of the speed reader. It sounds like a demon chipmunk, they're saying. Mm. You can't do this. You got to read it this way. So they're going to the state Supreme Court over whether you're allowed to use a demon chipmunk to speed read the bills or whether they have to be read at normal human speed.
I'm with the demon chipmunk. Like it's a ridiculous requirement. Let's just give it to the chipmunk and get it done.
Yeah. The best part, though, is the origin of this law. The reason why bills have to be read is that in 1890, the state constitution insisted that they have to be read, and they believe that it's probably because many lawmakers back then couldn't read.
At least not there.
Yeah. So the legislature has the right to have a bill read aloud in its entirety before they take a final vote.
It's yeah, like
in the state constitution.
I believe you had the date wrong on that amendment to the Constitution. That was 1990 still. 1990. So.
Yeah. Right before Reading Rainbow took off and solved all of Alabama's Mississippi's problems. Or what do you got
I
for the people?
I brought in a, what do you call it, a sci non-fi little talking point.
Science non-fiction?
So this is about metallic hydrogen.
What?
Which people are trying to create out of hydrogen. And something I relearned about this is that if you can make any element into a metal if you like smash it and heat it up high enough.
Isn't this how the Terminator was made? Isn't he made of metallic hydrogen?
Probably. I mean, that would be perfect use for this. So they use tiny little diamonds to either pressurize these hydrogen atoms or hydrogen molecules to extremely high pressure, or they like zap it with like the most powerful super lasers that they can make. The cool thing is that if they are able to make this metal, which I think sometime they will be able to, it will mean that superconductors, which can maybe function at like room temperature, which vastly increases the amount of things that we as humans could do with technology, basically.
Wow.
So there is some kind of, there is like a utility to it. It's not just like a bunch of guys, hey, what if we just made hydrogen into metal?
I was thinking that the potential
use
case.
I think it would like vastly change how we think about stuff.
I'm really bummed, Jack. I mean, that sounds cool, but I was hoping you were going to say that if they figure out how to make metallic hydrogen, they'll be able to make edible silver and gold crayons, you know, the metallic colors.
Perhaps. You never know, you know?
You really want to be able to have all the range of 64 colors, including the metallic tints.
Yeah.
We're just not there yet. We're not there yet.
We're some ways away. Well, now we got to get into the meat of things. We're talking about the Olympics. Olympics really, Olympic fever took over our household, took over the nation, really, took over the world. The world came together to celebrate athletic greatness. But I want to start a little closer to home, and I want to say, you guys know any Olympians? You ever met an Olympian? Anybody personally? You got any personal connections to people who have been in the Olympics?
I've known a couple Olympians, and Steele, you've known one of these people too. One of our schoolmates growing up, Jarrett Speedy Peterson.
Yeah, played football with him. Yep.
I don't know. I hung around with him a few times when I was kind of younger. One time I accidentally stepped on his finger and he stood up and punched me in the face and it broke my sunglasses. And actually I was wearing the sunglasses inside, which I don't know why I was doing.
But, you're just the kind of guy who wears sunglasses indoors and steps on Olympians' fingers, Jack.
I know, yeah. It's probably because I was wearing, that's why he punched me, because I was wearing sunglasses indoors and wasn't able to see his face.
Yeah.
You definitely deserved it. You totally deserved it there.
I think so. I think I did. Yeah, and also my uncle, my mom's sister's husband, played tennis in the Olympics in Mexico City.
Whoa, cool. So,
yeah.
Singles or doubles?
I think, I think he played a lot of doubles during his time, but yeah, I think he played a lot of singles too, so.
Cool.
Maybe, I don't know. I didn't look into it that much. He played tons and tons of like world-class tennis. He was a world-class athlete.
Wow. Well, too bad it's not related by blood. You could claim a little bit of that glamour rub.
We hung out a lot. Like rubbed off a bit, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. And that's why I'm representing Barbados in judo in 2020.
Yes. Awesome. Maybe it'll happen.
How about you, Steele? Any run-ins?
So yes, but without knowing it. So I was reading an article on my university's website about Wisconsin Olympians, and the front page picture was this girl, and I was like, weird, that really looks like one of the teachers in Cedar's daycare. And I read a bit closer, and then I got another email from the daycare saying, hey, congratulations, one of the teachers in the Niji room, which is where Cedar goes to daycare, one of the student teachers last year, is in the Olympics this year. She's throwing the discus. So she was the leading placed U.S. discus thrower this year in the Olympics. She threw it like 180-something feet.
Awesome.
And
we
had no
idea. I wonder how far she could have thrown cedar.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's how she practices.
That'd be awesome. So I had no idea. We just thought she was this nice student teacher, but she's a world-class Olympian. And the other one was I took an art class. I took a letterpress class before Laurel and I got married. And one of the girls in the class was just real cool. She was a two-sport athlete. She was a twin, Dave, so this might be inspiration. But she was playing hockey and she was playing soccer at UW. And I was like, oh, cool. This is an athlete who's into art. She seemed like a real nice person. And then I see that she's on the U.S. women's rugby team at these Olympics.
Nice.
Awesome.
Like, what? She's probably the most crazily athletically talented person ever if she played collegiate sports in two different sports and then represented the United States in a totally different third sport. I mean, pretty impressive.
I guess hanging around in like a city with a major population at an important university like increases your likelihood to kind of be around Olympic athletes, though, maybe?
I guess. I don't know. They feel totally coincidental. This is the first time I can think of having any kind of connection.
There's no Olympians in Snowflake, Arizona, as far as I know, guys. I have not run into any.
But
It seems like a place where they might have the shooting events, but yes, you don't go down to the gun range often, do you?
No, there's not a gun range. You just drive out a town about 10 minutes, and then you just shoot wherever you want to.
Sweet. So, Dave, you're the odd one out, man. You got to meet more Olympians.
I'm sorry. I can make up a story. I made one up about meeting Michael Phelps at a karaoke bar.
Yeah, how'd that go? What'd he sing?
Well, we ended up singing together. We sang So Happy Together. We hit it off.
The Turtles?
Yeah, the Turtles.
Were you in that bong photo?
I was taking it.
Yeah. Dave's the guy with the bandana over his face throwing up gang signs. You were Ryan Lochte's driver, I bet. You're in the cab. I guess a tool. We'll talk about him later. So the other thing I want to talk about, in addition to our personal connections, looking back over this year, tons of amazing, amazing athletic achievements. A bunch of world records fell. The South African guy, Wade Van Niekerk, beat a 20-year-old record in the 400-meter dash, smashed it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Almaz Ayana crushed a 23-year-old world record in the 10,000-meter by more than 14 seconds, which is just insane. But I want to hear what your personal favorite moments were, like the moment from this Olympics that you're just like, that either made you stand up and go, yes, or just start jabbering in unintelligibly to everyone around you.
So guys, I watched almost all the swimming, like every semifinal and final. I don't know what was happening in my life, but I watched all of it. And I was super stoked when Lily King did the Mutombo finger wag to, what was her name? Efimova.
Yulia Efimova. Efimova or whatever.
So she more or less, Efimova, however you say her name, caught for doping multiple times. Caught for doping this year, got it overturned so she could compete in the Olympics. And then Lily just straight up attacked her. It was just like brutal. And at first I was super excited, and then Lily like beats her in the final. She gets the gold. And then I started thinking about it more, and I was like, wait, we're America. And in this Olympics, we are the bad guys. Like, aren't we the bad guys?
Kind of. We're the ones who are, like, rich enough that we can do all the doping and not get caught.
Kind of seems like that.
But isn't every other country, like, just trying, they want to beat America in different events, and they're just, like, they're looking at us as the worst, yeah. Right?
So that finger wag, I bet you it played so differently everywhere in the world except for like on NBC in the American broadcast.
I think so, because I didn't see the NBC broadcast of it, but I saw somebody who had posted it from Russia on Facebook, and they were like, we just don't care about you, Americans. I was like, yeah, I think that's probably appropriate. And then I kind of read about it, and I think there's some legitimate controversy is whether this Efimova should be allowed in the Olympics. I think it's sort of okay, and it's proved that he didn't win.
Yeah.
She wasn't
the Mutombo, the finger wag thing, I guess Efimova or Efimova did it in another competition, so she was like mocking her with it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it was in the semifinal. She hadn't even raced the final yet, so she was like taunting her before she beat her directly, which is kind of fearless. It's pretty nuts.
But super yeah. gutsy. Like, she might look back later and kind of regret that she was so boisterous about it, but it was in the moment, those 2 days where she did the finger wag, and then the next day she beat her in the finals. Lily King was my number one Olympian, certainly.
I know it's cliche to say it, but the women's gymnastics, holy cow, it was awesome. The Simone Biles and Allie Raisman. So my mom and my sisters were all gymnasts, and my mom was a gymnast in college. And so I grew up always watching gymnastics and all the Olympics, and our mom would always commentate and tell us like a scoring thing. And so I've always enjoyed watching the gymnastics, especially the female gymnastics. And Simone Biles was like effortlessly the best female gymnast of all time. She was doing – like her difficulty score was so high that she could have fallen and still won the all-around competition. And then Allie Raisman was like another standard deviation above the rest of the field. And like her best performance, perfect performance, could have only got silver. It was just – it's crazy how much better than the rest of the world those two gymnasts were, and I'm just really impressed.
What do you think that is? That just determination, or like, do you think there's more to it? I don't know. Maybe you know more about the.
I think it's like they are jacked as hell, man. Have you seen their legs? Like Simone Biles is like 4'8", and she's like the most muscular gymnast. Like you saw her standing next to like the very young Chinese gymnast. The very young Chinese gymnast at her widest point was narrower than one of Simone Biles' thighs. And so on the floor and on the vault, her explosiveness just blew them away.
Just changed the way that gymnastics is done then?
I don't know. I think they're just doing such difficult things. The kind of vertical she gets on her floor routine, the explosiveness, literally unparalleled in human history. When she's at the peak of her flips, she's over 2 times her own height in the air.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And what's cool is you can I watched it and I could totally appreciate how awesome it was. I don't know anything about gymnastics. I didn't even really watch other floor routines, but when you're watching what she's doing, it's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there is some amazing stuff. Just power and athleticism. That was the one I watched with Laurel, and I was like, "Laurel, we just got to watch this." And even both of us would just be like after each pass, we're like, "Holy crap." And then they'd do something else and we're like, "Holy crap, again." It just kept happening over and over and over again.
I'm going to just talk about my daughters throughout this podcast, but there's nothing cuter than showing your 3-3-year-old daughter's gymnastics, because for like the next hour, they're just jumping off the couch and telling me all these gymnastics moves they're doing.
Hey, so it doesn't have to be daughters. We did that when my brother and I were kids, and we called ourselves something like wimping athletes or something. Instead of athletes, but we'd go and jump onto the bed and like do flips and stuff.
Yeah, Cedar needs no encouragement, but Dave just happens to have triplet daughters, so that's his reference.
Yeah, that'll be a good team of them. I don't know if it was one epic moment, but it was kind of epic moments over and over again. Weightlifter David Katawatu, he lifts huge weights. And then when he drops them, he just like celebrates with like a sweet little dance. And it's always different. He just kind of makes up something and wiggles off the stage. And when I saw it, I just like stood up and I did a wiggle too. You know, it was just like...
the spirit moved
like,
you.
Yes. Whoa, yeah. And he ended up failing in one of his lifts. But he still did a dance off the stage. And I was like, that is like awesome.
Totally.
He's also from a small island, Kiribati.
Yeah, they're being flooded right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a dramatic story, which I think is really interesting with the Olympics, that a lot of these people come from these places where what it means to, like, win an Olympic gold, it, like, totally changes, like, the possibilities for their lives, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I imagine coming in fourth or something could be, like, just totally devastating for these people too, which is, I guess that's part of the heartbreaking and glory of the Olympics.
Seriously. Yeah, that was such a cool story, and I think that's when that we'll put a link to that story up on the blog after this episode. But that's absolutely one that slipped under my radar. That's totally worth checking out. I'm glad you highlighted it, Jack. The other thing that is great about the Olympics is that there's a million sports, and some of them are terrible, and some of them are really amazing, but pretty obscure and pretty weird that you don't often see. But when you do at the Olympics, sometimes I kind of wish that I was seeing them a bit more. Favorite of the weird sports?
Track cycling. Does that count as a weird one?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. What?
Well, I like, as a winter sport, speed skating is like one of my favorites. So this like really reminds me of speed skating. You know, you're getting into the wind stream of the other riders and just trying to like use your team to go as fast as around the block or around. Well, there are different events, but I thought those were really fun and interesting.
But it's so weird because like half the time they're barely pedaling. It looks like they're like taking a nap and then like all of a sudden everyone starts racing. I don't know what's going on.
That's the one-on-one thing. There's like a one-on-one track race where it's sort of the first one around the two laps or something. So the first lap, the one guy in front is just trying to like get in position so the other guy can't pass him. And
they turn it on.
They just go really slow. They're like going like, you know, just barely pedaling until they know that they can go around the track faster than the other guy, and then they just start taking off.
That's awesome. I don't understand that in the least.
Those are fun, I think.
I thought the two sports that I watched this Olympics that I thought were legitimately awesome that I'd never really spent a lot of time watching before, one is water polo. That's so brutal. It's like wrestling plus basketball plus handball plus like swimming all at the same time. It's like it seems impossible.
And you can never stop swimming.
Yeah.
You can't touch the bottom. You're treading water. Like even when you're taking a break, you're still treading water.
Like the goalie is literally treading water for like just the whole game, and they just seem like their head's above water just naturally, like they're standing there, but they're not standing there. That's incredible. And then the other sport that was really cool to watch is handball. I don't super understand it either, but it's nuts.
I didn't catch handball this Olympics, but I'd seen it on TV. It's much more popular in Europe.
Yeah, it is. And the Europeans kill that.
It's on normal TV, so.
Like Denmark, France, Germany, and I don't remember who the fourth place team was, but it was all these European guys that were just like flying through the air, and it was cool.
Like, how is that not like an intramural sport at every college? Handball looks awesome. And it looks like, you know, anybody could just join in if you can run.
Yeah.
And like you're playing handball and you're having a great time.
Yeah, that would be a big hit. I don't know why it's not. Other of the best weird sports?
No, I'm happy with that list.
I don't know. It's hard because I like all the sports and I don't necessarily think that they're weird, maybe is the thing.
Can I flag Badman, one that I was trying to explain this one to Laurel, and she did not accept that this was a real thing. Modern pentathlon?
I read George S. Patton did this event in like the 1912 Olympics and came in fifth place.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. So it was in the old days, it was based on like the ideal sport or the ideal events that a soldier needed to do in ancient Greece or whatever. So javelin and a bunch of other stuff. Now, some guy in like 19th century France said, we need to develop a modern pentathlon to simulate the experience of a 19th century cavalry soldier behind enemy lines. And what's crazy to me is that these things are still done in 2016 and called the modern pentathlon. So you have to ride an unfamiliar horse, fight enemies with a pistol and a sword, swim, and then run to return to their own soldiers. So they have to do fencing, a 200-meter freestyle swimming, show jumping on a horse, and a final, which is actually two events, where you do a 3,200-meter cross-country run and then shoot a pistol.
Sounds pretty awesome. I have to say I missed that at the Olympics.
Yeah, I definitely didn't watch it. Some dude set an Olympic record, so I was like, oh, cool, some guy set a record in the pentathlon. I bet that's cool. And then I tried to look up what the pentathlon was, and I just kept getting more and more confused.
How do you set a record in it? Like just scoring number one in all the things?
I think you get points for how well you do in each thing. And I'm confused by it, but it is not a modern event. That's a sport that we should definitely drop. And the question is, When we drop Modern Pentathlon, the most important question, what are we going to replace it with? Events that we're missing from this year's Olympics.
I think there's something that was missing from this year's Olympics that goes on beyond events quickly, and that is like some real Brazilian like culture. So like at all the venues, when you were watching them on these live streams, you could hear in between like when they have the things going on, they're blasting American pop music, like Katy Perry and stuff, you know, and it's like,
nice.
What is going on here? Brazil has a great musical, lively history, you know?
And then, I think that's the best they could do in Rio. I mean, Rio is not really known for its music or party scene.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But then along those lines, I think, something like capoeira or something that's like really, part of the culture of each nation should be definitely part of, like, the sport that's just from there should definitely be part of a league.
What is capoeira? I have no idea what that is. What is it? Capoeira.
It's like jumping around, dancing, fighting.
Yeah, it's like martial arts dance.
That's two things I love to see combined, so I'm in.
You could have The Rock facing off with Jason Statham, Dave, in, like, the bronze medal match.
Statham.
Yeah, there you go. See.
So, Steele, I have loads of these that I want to see added. My first thought is when we're talking about track cyclists is I didn't understand what was happening. So how can we make this even more chaotic and better? You give them each a little club, and you're able to use the club in any way you want, and you're trying to finish first.
You know, I mentioned that to Laurel, and she said, why don't they just put roller derby in the Olympics? And I thought, that would be cool.
That's a good idea.
That's like legit already a sport, and there's no really roller skating, rollerblading events right now, I don't think.
I guess there's probably a push already to do that. I think you can kind of submit an application and try and get like support for your sport to get into the Olympics.
Well, I definitely want to upvote for roller derby. That's all I'm saying. Let it be registered right now.
Were there less sports at this Olympics than other Olympics?
I'm not sure. I think they dropped a couple, but then they added some back. They're always changing up the roster a little bit.
I think they keep expanding. They added golf this year for some unknown reason.
But they don't have baseball.
Yeah, they used to. It's kind of been on and off with baseball.
Yeah.
They should definitely
bring it back.
100% they need to drop equestrian. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
I think
all the shooting
with the horse is bad. Because the horse is the real athlete, especially in like dressage. I looked up the definition of dressage when I was watching it, and I was like, the guy on the horse is getting a medal for training his horse to like do whatever he wants it to, or like be at his beck and call or something.
That'd be like us giving medals to the swimming coaches for like the swimmers did really well. You're like, congrats, you won a gold medal, 65-year-old dude.
Yeah, Lochte's mom maybe deserves some, Lochte's mom.
He should get all of his medals for putting up with that.
That shows you exactly how ridiculous it would be for the
one sport that I know Dave would love to see: competitive arm wrestling.
Oh, jeez! Yeah, Stallone would love to see it too.
Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
Yeah, that's the kind of gold medal that you wear with pride. It's not like this one of these equestrian ones.
There's like some Uzbeki dark horse wrestling for his life against like a Cuban guy.
Isn't that what Mr. T has his gold medal for?
Yeah, I think it was stripped from him, so he's only got the chain left. There's no medal, but his medal was stripped from him.
Because he ate it. When he bit his gold medal, he ate it.
So I think that there needs to be more Olympic events where you don't actually have to be a world-class athlete.
Yeah, more sedentary.
Or even necessarily in shape. Something where you can just kind of get up off your couch and win a gold medal with. So I personally am a huge fan of lawn games like horseshoes, ladder golf. That's a classic, bocce ball. And there's I don't know if you guys have played this sweet game with a frisbee, and there's like a bucket and you're on teams. I think it's like can jam and you're throwing the frisbee.
Yeah, you slap
your partner's at the other cam and he has to slap it down into the can. Yeah. But I'd love to see that in the Olympics.
That's
been... it's like team frisbee slap into a bucket.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be multiple events for that one.
I think that's we got to get a sponsor in front of that. So it's Budweiser team frisbee slap into a bucket when it's officially at the Olympics.
Yeah, you got to give it a new name because the other one's like brand name or something, you know.
Yeah,
so the sport needs its own unbranded name. I think that should be an Olympic standard.
I think it should be called doubles bucket disc frisbee slap. You can't call it frisbee. That's a bucket disc slap.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's catchy.
Disc slap.
You want slap needs to be in there.
I got a gold medal in disc slap.
Disc slap, because if you say it fast, everybody's like, what? Disc slap? What are you doing, man? You can't medal in that.
Oh, you can.
But I mean, you're your peak, what, about 16, 17? Didn't they reach their peak? All right. The other sport that I really loved that I thought was a good idea was the swing dismount. I think, Dave, that was your idea?
Yeah. I think we've all tried to do an acrobatic swing dismount at some point. You're jumping off the swing. But I'd love to see what people are capable of doing. Like, you get Simone Biles on a swing dismount?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here's the rule that I would add. You have to – you get on the swing, and your father must be the person who pushes you to your start. It has to be your dad. So it's like
– I think maybe it has to be your dad, and they have to do an under push also. Yeah, so they go under and they
underdog.
Run through.
Underdog.
And they do the flip and jump off. Maybe they can even catch you on their shoulders, just like standing like this. You land it like
that's a high degree of difficulty score for that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Underdog and dads, that'd be great. Jack, you had my other favorite one, and I think we could really take this one a lot of different places, and this is like street ball. But
yeah,
I
have to say this wasn't actually my original idea. Friend mentioned it as an option for like basketball. And I said, and he had some other options, but I thought 3-on-3 street basketball sounded like something I totally watch on the Olympics. A shorter timeline, eliminate the stuff of basketball that you don't like, which is like timeouts and stuff, and just get some guys like playing hard.
Yeah. And you could have some kind of like stylistic judging element. So you don't just get points for scoring baskets. You get points for like trash talk or awesome headbands or just doing different crazy stuff. You got an MC there like on the mixtape. The other thing that I thought would be great about this, Jack, is you know how in wrestling they have weight classes? If you had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament but you had height classes. So there's like you're competing for the gold medal in 3-on-3 basketball where every player in your team must be under 5'6".
Oh, that would be good.
Or you're,
they
there's
lower
also
the hoop for that?
What's that? No, no, it's still at a 10-foot hoop.
Okay.
And then and then you have a 3-on-3 team where everyone must be over 7 feet tall.
Oh, jeez.
And then you could have like bigs versus littles, like as like a charity game where they go on a big tour or something. You know, it'd be cool.
Are there any summer Olympic sports that judge your like outfit? I know they do that in like some of the winter sports, right?
I think dressage is the only thing, but in judging a horse's outfit.
Yeah. I was just thinking that like some of those number of things could be applied to that basketball thing, like that, wearing a cool bandana.
That'd be nice.
You'd have having an awesome beard or something.
Yeah. Those Serbians.
Let me maybe just throw out, we'll just do kind of a speed round.
Yeah.
And you guys give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, thoughts on this. A whole set of parlor games, including darts, pool, skee ball. What do you think?
This could replace the modern pentathlon.
That's a good idea. I was going to say no, just because it's like, I'm not a fan of the real game-oriented stuff. Like, I thought, like, chess is, like, a cool game that, like, a lot of people think maybe could be an Olympic sport. But, like, I don't know. But then if you put it in a whole bunch of the things all at once, so if you did... You had to be good at skee ball and good at like whack-a-mole and good at the pool. And
the pub
whatever.
Pentathlon. It could be called the pub pentathlon. Pub-tathlon.
The modern pub tathlon.
Yeah, the modern pub tathlon.
Next one, synchronized life, 24 hours. You and your partner have to do everything synchronized.
That would be amazing. That would be probably the highest rated reality show ever made.
I'll give it a thumbs up. I'd like to see it, at least try it.
Like, imagine the slow-mo replays of, like, breakfast. And then,
so that could be a good way, though, to, again, highlight, like, the culture of the
country.
Nation hosting. Because the people would be doing this in Brazil. So you'd, like, see the life of people in Brazil for, like, an entire day. And then Brazilians in particular would really show their lives, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be
terrific.
I'm in.
Ultimate Frisbee.
I think it's popular enough. I don't see why it's not one already.
Yeah, it's really grown up popular. It's a fast-moving, it's a cool team sport. I don't know, maybe not, yeah. But that's a sport we could see, like, that's a sport that could have international popularity in a way that a lot of these other sports do.
Culinary competition, like a bake-off or an Iron Chef showdown. Again, you're getting the culture.
I say it could be cultural showcase. Maybe you have that be part of the opening or closing ceremonies, but I don't want it to be an event.
Oh, I like it as part of the ceremony to, like, highlight the cuisine or something, or some of the, like, special vegetables or something.
Like, they're bringing in their flag, but instead of their flag, they're bringing in a dish. So, like, the Samoans walk in and the guy's carrying a platter with an enormous pig with an apple in its mouth and covered in oil or whatever.
Could be. Or the Samoan guy has to cook a dish with, like, only Brazilian ingredients or something.
There you go.
Oh.
Everybody's got to make.
I guess they have pigs in Brazil, too.
Not for long. Not after this event takes off.
So, lumberjack pentathlon. You got axe throwing, caber toss. You're doing, like, the team saw, that sort of thing. And you're wearing suspenders and flannel.
Isn't this the Highland Games? Isn't this already something that they do?
It's not an Olympic event.
I don't know about, like, the log throw and stuff, but I think, like, the chainsawing and the axe use is already a pretty international sport, and they probably have their own thing, but they're not part of the Olympics. I think that would be a cool one to have.
Yeah, that Venn diagram would be interesting, imagining all the people that come to the Olympics for the chainsaw event. Like, that crowd, the Olympic fan crowd had just changed just a little bit.
Have you guys been to an Olympics?
No, I'd love to. Did you? Did you go to Atlanta?
Yeah, I went to the Salt Lake Olympics and saw the women's biathlon, which was like skiing and shooting, I think like the gun events and the archery things, it's kind of like similar to the axe wielding and chainsawing. So.
Yeah.
There needs to be more horror movie related events. Yeah, chainsaws, axe throwing,
hey,
that sort of thing.
Speaking of which, we took Cedar to a public park next to the zoo on Sunday. There's a kid there wearing a Jason mask.
Oh, yeah.
Just following Cedar around. And then there's a big shooter that's like a slide. And he goes up in the slide and I'm watching Cedar and he goes, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you." And Cedar goes down the slide. He says, "No, don't want you get me." And then the kid sits there, and he goes to the bottom of the slide, and he just crouches there and sits perfectly still.
Did you talk to that kid's parents?
No, his parents were miles away. And then Cedar was scared. And then Cedar later is sitting on this little rocker back and forth, and he keeps saying hi to the kid in the mask. And eventually the kid takes the mask off and comes and sits down and plays with Cedar. It was awesome.
Oh, that's good.
The kid did have a face then.
Yeah, I mean, it's badly, badly disfigured. Okay. It was kind of a Phantom of the Opera type thing, so I understood the mask. But it was a strange moment in our parenting life.
So I've got one more quick suggestion for something that maybe is a little out there to add to the Olympics, and this is just the idea that there's, like, always a problem with drugs and prostitution and things like this and crime, and I always learned when I was growing up that, like, the best way to, like, solve problems is to, like, include the people that you're having problems with rather than, like, separating them out.
Yeah.
And in Brazil, they built a giant wall and separated away like the parts of town they didn't want people to see. Mm-hmm. Played all the American music. Anyway,
the basketball team lived on a yacht for the whole Olympics. Ridiculous.
I think the problem with prostitution might be something that you could mix in here somehow. Have some kind of sex games. Well,
I don't know if they could still get the TV rights on NBC, but that's an interesting idea.
I'm sure there's members of the IOC that probably participated in this type of event over the 2 weeks, and there may be some that would be interested in bringing it out into the public, but I think it's a hard sale. It's hard to make.
They're honorary gold medalists, we'll say.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Laurel also suggested that mansplaining should be part of the Olympics because there was a ton of it on the very sexist TV coverage, so you could have a mansplaining kind of gold medal. Yeah,
for basically, all kinds of sexism was going on throughout the Olympics if you listen to any of the commentators. Totally bizarre.
I can't remember the female swimmer, but she was awesome. And every time she won a race or a medal, they would show her husband on the sideline just yelling at her. And everyone just like gave him credit for her excellent performance.
The Hungarian woman, Katinka Husku?
Yeah, Katinka. I was a huge fan of Katinka.
She was amazing. And yeah, they kept being like, her husband must be so, I mean, he's really proud of himself for yelling really loud as his wife was the fastest swimmer in the world. I mean, like... Yeah, it's nuts.
And she was awesome. She was like blowing away, like seconds ahead. She was so cool. Yeah. And like during the race, they're cutting over to show a shot of the husband with his ridiculous ponytail haircut. Yeah. And she's like, yeah.
All right, guys, we got to close down the Olympic talk. And the thing that I want to go out on is there were a number of failures, people who didn't win medals, who struggled, who didn't win. And yet they were transcendent or redemptive in some way. Let's hear one of the awesome failures that warmed your heart or made you proud from the Olympics.
I'm not sure I felt like warm-hearted. I just kind of got this crushing like sense of dread.
Perfect. Just what I meant. That's what we failures.
But I thought that was pretty awesome failure, which is this guy. I forgot his name. Anyway, he's, again, a judo wrestler. And he was just totally way too tired to do these last events. And so he was just there like pushing and sweating, and you could just tell that he was just trying to not lose by getting thrown down. And he got through to the bronze level B match doing this. And I mean, just got destroyed. By the end of it, he was like, can't you just call the end of the match, you know? I can't fight this guy. It's done. It's over. Thought that was pretty awesome.
I love, just the, I'm done. I tried. I'm done. That's good. Dave, buddy, you got something for us?
The poor guy, the hurdler.
Yes.
Jeffrey Gilmas.
I'm so glad you picked this one. Okay. Jeffrey Gilmas from Haiti.
Everybody's going. The first hurdle, he runs into and falls over. He's been training his whole life for this moment.
He does not even come close to clearing the hurdle.
Is that stage fright, do you think?
Probably.
It's like he's surprised that this hurdle's there. Like, wait, what the hell? Why is this hurdle here?
And the thing is, it's not just like he hits the hurdle and knocks it down. He, like, jumps into the middle of the hurdle. The hurdle does like a full two barrel rolls. He hits the ground hard, rolls over. Everyone's like 4 or 5 seconds ahead of him, but he gets up and finishes the race.
I like it when they finish the race.
Yeah. That's the part. This is going to tie in with my Olympic theme song to hear in a second, Dave. But Jeffrey Gilmas is my personal Olympic hero as well. The story that I want to mention.
Wait, one more thing. And then the second hurdle, he ends up crawling under because he tumbled with the first one so much. Jeffrey.
He probably gets an additional penalty or something for that, doesn't he?
I don't think they even cared because he was like 8 seconds behind the leaders. So he was definitely out. Two small things I need to mention. One, there was Estonian triplets, women, who competed in the marathon. So inspiration for your three girls, Dave. New role models for you. But the other one was, I watched some wrestling, and I'm just going to say a name.
This is good.
Dave. Frank the Gorilla Hulk Molinaro. Google this guy. He is going to be your new life slash style inspiration. He'll make you proud to be from New Jersey. That's all you need to know. But the real story was, this was, I watched this one live, and I could not believe what I was seeing. It's the bronze medal match. I think it's like the 75 kilogram. So these are big, strong guys. Not the biggest, but they're big and strong. A Mongolian wrestler is wrestling a guy from Uzbekistan. And they're switching. They're taking each other down. The lead goes to the Uzbekistan guy. Then it goes to the Mongolian guy with like 30 seconds left. He does a takedown to take a one-point lead. With 5 seconds left, he realizes he's going to win because he's up by one. So he starts jumping in the air and celebrating, sort of running away from the guy. And then the buzzer buzzes, and his coaches come out. They hug him, and he's celebrating. He's, like, crying. And they announce, after the buzzer buzzes, that they awarded a penalty point to the Uzbeki wrestler because the Mongolian guy was escaping and avoiding the hold, which means that it was then moved to a tie. And the rules are whoever scores last wins. So he loses the bronze medal, and it goes to the wrestler from Uzbekistan. And as he discovers this is happening, the wrestler himself is like in tears, inconsolable. But his two coaches, these huge, heavy-set Mongolian guys, take off their clothes and throw them at the officials. And one guy takes off his shoes. So one guy's just stripped down to his windbreaker pants and like demonstrating with his fists and his body. And the other guy's like, no, that's not enough. I got to go down to my boxer shorts. And so these two huge Mongolian guys are there parading around in their underwear, like publicly demonstrating and like saying, this is wrong. The decision is wrong. And they did it for like 5 or 6 minutes. It was nuts.
That decision is wrong though, isn't it? I mean, like, I don't know.
It was clearly unsportsmanlike, and it was against the rules. I read about it. Like, if you watch it, he just starts running away from the guy with his arms in the air, and in that, you can't do that.
And it's one of those things where, like, he should have held on to the guy for 5 seconds, and it's over. And he made this terrible decision, and he lost the bronze medal, and you just feel so bad for him.
Oh, man.
And what's even more interesting is I'm told NBC cut off the cameras. The coaches both ended up being nude, and there was genitalia waving going on.
So they did take home a bronze medal in the Sex Olympics, but it's just an exhibition match, and so it won't count in the official standings. So congrats to Mongolia. Anyway, those are some of the memorable failures that were just beautiful and inspiring and a little heartbreaking, dread-inspiring. All right, we got to move quickly on to the end here. This was a great episode talking about the Olympics. The thought that I had was Unchained Melodies. Imagine for a second the John Lennon song where there's no countries. And instead, you're in the Olympics, and when you win, they don't play a national anthem. They play a song of your choice. And that's the world we're living in. Dave, Jack, me, we've just won an Olympic event, and they play our anthem. What song are they going to play for us? Here's what we want to know for Unchained Melodies tonight.
Off the top of my head, answer is easy. Bruce Springsteen, Tougher Than the Rest.
I could see you, like, climbing the stairs.
You're already standing up there.
Well, okay. Well, it's Saturday night. You're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you for a while. Maybe you've been watching me too. So fitting.
I think this can really catch people off guard.
Slow it down a little.
Tough.
Yeah, rock ballad. I think that's a good way to go.
Really moving.
Just a nice slow jam that puts everybody else in their place.
All right.
I picked something a little classical. Just, you know, you just hear the music and stuff. So I went with, I'm going to totally butcher this guy's name, Louis Andreasen. There's a Dutch composer. And this is a track called De Materie Part 1.
I feel like you're about to get eaten by a shark, Jack.
You better. I just won the fucking Olympic gold.
I like to imagine that you're doing a hip thrust each time the music comes in.
I probably am. It's kind of like the those when the Icelandic team
the clap.
Yeah.
Doing hip thrust after hip thrust.
You're going to have a hip injury after this.
And that's an F you to you, and you, and you, and you. All of you didn't believe in me. And you, and you. Is there more to the song, Jack, or is that just it for 20 minutes?
We can probably stop it there. I think that's how I would imagine.
Yeah, it gets real good. Dang.
It gets pretty. He's a pretty crazy composer.
Nice. So. All right, so here's mine. I wanted to slow it down and make people real sad as well. So this is Cat Power. This is the greatest. I just picture myself winning the Olympics of sadness, and I'm just, like, sobbing. And it says, melt me down, and the camera's like a slow-mo of the first tear rolling down my cheek, you know?
There's no hip thrusting during that song.
No. No, no. Definitely not. All right, anybody have a second choice? You don't have to have one, but if anybody has a second choice here, we can play backup songs for the silver.
I've got one second choice.
Yes.
And I just imagine, again, maybe along the lines of... No country or no specific place. I imagine standing up, holding my hand over my heart, and saluting Atlantis.
They haven't had representation since the early 1900s when the island sank. And it's like the old-fashioned version of Kiribati, really.
Mm-hmm. So here's Donovan.
All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, well... from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. So gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis! Hey there,
the ocean. I think this is where the crowd does the wave.
Yeah.
The it kind of goes on like this. It gets a little rocking, but it's kind of the story of Atlantis and then hailing your country and your...
And I picture at that moment, suddenly all the spectators in the stadium begin levitating and the roof of the ceiling parts and like Atlantis rises from the sea and like a beam of light comes down from heaven and it's wonderful.
I think that might have been what Donovan was seeing in his mind when he wrote the song as well.
You winning the Olympics for the country of Atlantis?
Yeah. He was experimenting with some drugs, I think, at the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, there we go. Dave, you got anything else, or is that good for you?
I think I'm good. We don't have to play these. A couple backup choices was the entire John Cougar Mellencamp catalog. Or
no, hey, we got time. Let's just play it all.
Just start to finish. Or you know I'm a Built to Spill, so I'd like to pick one of their 20-minute-long songs. Just milk it, you know? I'm just up on the metal stage for 20 minutes.
I think that might excite Jack Bangeter as a lifelong Boisean.
I would like that. I like Built to Spill.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody does. All the other Boise natives I talk to, they don't care. They don't care about Built to Spill.
Yeah, Dave, you know, I kind of know those guys a little bit.
Dean?
Yeah, jealous, huh?
Yeah, in 10 years ago, they were probably my favorite band. I love Built to Spill. I still do. I still like them.
Well, gentlemen, we've talked about Olympic glory. We've talked about Olympic gold. For book wisdom, I want to take us back to the true Greek roots of the sport. This is a poem. Well, it's in prose form now, but it was by the Greek poet Pindar. And this is one of his Olympic odes, one of the original. This is Olympian Ode number 12 for Ergoteles of Himera, who won the long foot race in 466 B.C., I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but we'll put the YouTube video up after the poem's over. Pindar writes, I entreat you, child of Zeus the deliverer, saving fortune, keep protecting Himera and make her powerful. For by your favor, swift ships are steered on the sea and on dry land, rushing battles in assemblies where counsel is given. But men's expectation are often tossed up and then back down as they cleave the waves of vain falsehood. Never yet has any man on earth found a reliable token of what will happen from the gods. Our understanding of the future is blind. And therefore, many things fall out for men contrary to their judgment, bringing to some reversal of delight, while others, having encountered grievous storms, in a short time exchange their troubles for high success. Son of Philonor, truly, like a cock that fights at home, even the fame of your swift feet would have shed its leaves ingloriously beside your native hearth, if hostile civil strife had not yet deprived you of your Gnossian fatherland. But as things are, Ergoteles, having been crowned with garlands at Olympia and twice from Pytho and at the Isthmus, you exalt the hot baths of the nymphs while keeping company with them beside your own fields. Boom! Yeah, that's how you drop wisdom on a champion.
From the beginning, they had the sex games in there, obviously.
Exactly. You won the race and you exalt the hot baths of the nymphs.
Whoop!
Son of Philonor! there you go. That's original Olympic wisdom right there.
Yeah, that's like an original sports column.
It is.
It really captures some of the excitement of the sporting event. Yeah, like I was totally drawn in.
And it's the crucial point is like we don't know what's going to happen. That's what makes sports so compelling. And Alan Stouffer was asking us that one time, Dave, like, I don't get why people like sports. It's because a bunch of people are coming together, and it's one thing where anything can happen almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
You think someone might win, but it's not predictive in that way. Anything can happen, and that's what we ride on the moments of sports because the winner, the preferred victor could be upset. Some loser could come in and win. The finger wag, you know, it's a prediction. But you got to see if they can back it up.
And that's what it makes it so exciting. Nobody knows what's going to happen. That's why you want to watch the live stream. You want to see it happening right then.
Yep.
So you can just participate in that feeling, that excitement. Yeah.
2020 can't come soon enough. Where's the next Olympics going to be held? I don't even know.
Tokyo. We're going, all three of us.
Nice.
All right.
All right.
What are we participating in?
Judo. I'm in
not
the
one of our new games.
Yeah.
Well, aren't we a 3-on-3 basketball team?
Under 6 foot.
Boom.
From the islands of Kiribati.
I think we can maybe get into the cycle clubbing event.
Yeah, it's true. Well, gentlemen, I've loved it. Thanks so much for joining us again, Jack.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for talking Olympics.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was great. Good to see you, Jack.
Yep. Bye.
Off the chain. It's off the chain.
You can't die of methane poisoning, can you, Dave?
I believe you can. I believe that's a possibility.
I better crack this door then tonight before the evening ends.
Don't do it too early. We don't want it to affect the sound quality still. So
I do have to warn you, there's some pounding that was going on my wall not too long ago, so I don't know if that might come back. There's
a captive
stop next door.
Okay, that's better than a captive next door.
A little bit. I think they actually sort of had a captive there, so...
Exciting.
But he died.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like living there and helping them work and sending money back to his family. So, and then he died in the shop.
So is that when the pounding finally stopped?
Yeah, just a moment ago.
So there may be an ambulance, but whatever.